Hallelujah. John 10:27. We've been using the same springboard scripture. You know, scriptures can spring off a lot of different ways. Did you ever climb a mountain? How many of you have ever walked up to the Grand Ditch? Any of you ever done that? Did you know there's more than one way to get there? And did you know if you go up there and you say, well, I know the way and I've seen it all, you'd be nuts. Because there's so many different things to see and so many different ways to go. And even after you get up to the ditch one way, you could come in from behind and you'd see another way, couldn't you? There's all kinds of different views. Well, God's Word is like that. It has so many facets to it. The Hebrews teach that there is the kind of understanding of the Word that is just the direct understanding. Just what you see when you read, just that. But also, there is an understanding that comes through study. Drash. We call it Midrash. The meeting we have on Friday night downstairs. And by the way, we had a great Shabbat dinner here the other night. It was really special. It was really good. And part of what really made it special was what you did at the end by obeying the Holy Spirit. You know, that just opens things up. And that's what we really desire to see. It's good to have fellowship, but in addition to fellowship, we want to get into the fellowship that's really around the Word of God. And Midrash is when you begin to study and people begin to interact. Say interact. Yeah. It's all right to do that here. You can interact. You can interact by nodding. You can interact by saying, that's right. You can interact by saying, say that again. Or we used to have a guy here that I said, if I ever say a word you don't understand, just raise your hand and we'll try to explain it. Well, he had his hand up about two-thirds of the time for a while, you know. He was always doing it. But you know what? A lot of people were in his shoes and just weren't admitting it. Because sometimes I have a tendency to say words that I heard that I maybe don't even understand. I have to get help. Tell them what they mean. But in John 10:27... as we read these words, realizing there's different ways. And by the way, there's a third way of understanding, and that is the hidden or the secret. Did you know there's things in the Word of God that go even deeper than you get from just casual study? Sometimes it takes revelation. The Holy Spirit has to show you. He just has to point it out. But there's some tremendous things. I could show you something just from the genealogy in the book of Genesis that would amaze you, in that the gospel is preached by the meaning of their names through the first part of the genealogy. Have you ever read through the genealogy and said, what? I can't even say these names. And here, he begat, and somebody else begat him, and that's the begats, right? No? I'll tell you what, there's meaning in there. There are sometimes hidden meanings in the names that God gave people. Amazing things. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. Let's just stop and let that sink in just a minute. Any sheep here today? What do sheep say? Bah. You need to remind yourself once in a while that you're just a sheep. Bah. And don't be a fence-climbing sheep. You know about fence-climbers, don't you? They're the ones the farmers butcher first. So you stay in the flock. My sheep hear my voice. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. What's Jesus' voice sound like? You're his sheep. Gentle. What else?
Sometimes stern.
Stern? That's right. He was stern with Peter, wasn't he? What else?
Sounds like your own voice.
It does. It sounds like a voice that you hear inside. Do you know people for years have not known what to call that voice? Elijah said it's a still, small voice. He said the Lord wasn't in the fire, and the Lord wasn't in the wind, and the Lord wasn't in the earthquake, but a still, small voice. Isaiah said it like this. He says, and you will hear a voice behind you. You ever hear that voice? Just kind of, this is kind of what the guy described to me the other day when he came to me and said, it was just kind of like this came. He said, I found myself answering it without knowing I'd heard it. But I found myself giving an answer. That's gentle, isn't it? There's a voice that you hear. One of the things that we learn about the Holy Spirit, and they used to say this, and you know, there's times, obviously, that you might see some exceptions, but in general, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't demand your attention most of the time, does he? The Holy Spirit waits for you to shut up and listen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. He said, I know my sheep. And he said this, finally, they follow me. Follow me. They that are in Christ Jesus ought to walk even as he walked. Amen? They follow me. So, as we've been talking about prayer, and what prayer is, and the whole series that we did. And by the way, if you've got the internet, you can find messages from quite a ways back, but you can find definitely the whole parts of a prayer, the Delightful Prayer series. Prayer is supposed to be delightful. Prayer is not supposed to be religious. You ever get in a religious prayer meeting and feel like going home? I remember somebody called an all-night prayer meeting. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with those. They're good. But you know what? A lot of all-night prayer meetings are just endurance contests. See who can stay there. Think of something new to pray about. Why? Well, because sometimes things that are being called by men haven't been called by God. I found out one thing. When God calls me to prayer, I don't have to try. I get there, boy. It's easy. He can wake you up early in the morning. You know, so I don't like to get up at before five, but he does it sometimes. I don't know, do you like to get up at five even, you know? Not particularly, but you know, before five seems like it's not the time to get up, right? But sometimes the Lord will just wake you up. And sometimes he says my name, he'll say Terry. Or sometimes I just know he's speaking. And I'll wake up, and when I wake up like that, I don't have to look and say, well, let's see, what time is it? I'm going to get enough sleep. I just get up. Because I hear him. I hear him. It's not loud. It's not obtrusive. It just gets me up. They follow me. But when we begin to pray then, should prayer be monotonous monologue? I think that's what a lot of people think. You know, we'll get our list and we'll just read through it. Or we'll get our rosary and we'll bead through it. Right? Same kind of thing. I said it's the same kind of thing. Jesus said, don't think you'll be heard for your much speaking. He said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. And yet some of our praying, if we don't watch out, just becomes vain, becomes monotonous, becomes religious. And there's no life. If it's not monotonous monologue, what should it be? Talking to your father. Okay, that's good. I'm going to tell you that's a good half of it. That's right. And if it's not monotonous monologue, maybe it should be dynamic dialogue. Living. Powerful. A dialogue. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I hear something, if you tell me something that I don't know, I'm gonna stand and listen to you and respond. We'll get eye contact, won't we? You'll tell me something and I might get excited. Well, I didn't know that. Did you know the Lord's willing to talk to us like that so that He'll tell us things that we didn't know? The Bible says He'll show us things to come. That's what this thing that's back here. By the way, be sure you pick up a copy of that. Take it home. He'll show you things to come. That's exciting. That's exciting. You want to hear the Lord when He says, duck. Right? Dynamic dialogue. Respond to him. And words are important. Did you know that? Words are important. For those of you that have been here a while, you're going to think there's going to be some review in this. And how many know that real learning happens through repetition? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And faith comes through hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So there'll be some repetition, but I want to take a little different slant than we have before. Words are important. Words are important. We're told that idle words will be judged for. What's an idle word?
It's like junk food.
Like junk food. That's right. Good. It fills, but it doesn't accomplish anything, does it? Or if you look at it as a... Maybe some of you men thinking about your car, it's not in gear. You remember the old... You know, there used to be a lot of jokes about Confucius. We don't believe Confucius around here, but Confucius says that a man should... That's what is that? Help me.
Put it in gear before you talk.
Before you speak, yeah. Engage mind before you speak. There you go. And there was another one that we used to say about preachers, that he that thinks by the inch and speaks by the mile should be kicked by the foot. So we try to get these things down where we understand that words are important. How many of you believe that Yeshua ever spoke any idle words? You don't mind if I call him Yeshua, do you? That's what Mary called him, so I think I can. Of course, they called her Miriam instead of Mary. Jesus. We don't mind that either, but every word that he spoke, he meant. Think about this. He didn't speak idle words. Do you think he had a sense of humor?
Yeah.
I do too. I believe that's where a real sense of humor comes from, is from God. Now there's some stuff called sense of humor today that's not sense of humor. It's coarse humor. Needs to be done away with. Humor that's done at other people's expense needs to be done away with. Humor that belittles. Most satire needs to be done away with, right? But Jesus spoke what he meant. And the words he said, this is what he said in John 6:63. He says, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life." Now imagine, now we're back in prayer and we're talking to Jesus. We're talking to the only living God, our God. We're talking to him. And the words that he's speaking to us, what are they? Their spirit and their life. How could you get bored? So the problem is not prayer. The problem is the way we approach it. And the problem has been for years that we often think that we're supposed to conduct prayer, where prayer is supposed to be intimate. Can you say intimate?
Intimate,
intimate with God. How many of you know that the word yada in the Hebrew, yada, to know God, is an intimate knowing? To know God. The same word that's used for, and Adam knew his wife, and they had a son. Yada, intimacy, an intimate knowing. That's what prayer is supposed to be about. Hearing. And words are important. And so many times I find that people have good intentions, but their words just... they're either idle or they're insincere because they've heard somebody else pray and they want to pray like them. You remember the old high-sounding prayers? We change our tone a little bit. We talk to God. Some people change them. Almighty God. The old Pentecostal preacher raises his up a little bit high. Oh God! But what do? When we talk to God? We just talk to God. Am I demeaning people that do these things? No, I'm not. But I'm just telling you, it's not necessary. I sometimes think God wonders what's going on when we come to Him in a different voice. It's a good thing He knows everything, or He'd say, "Who's that? Who is that?" Well, words are important. Jesus meant His words, and He told us words that we should speak in prayer. Now, how many of you know that He actually gave us model prayer? He did not give us a prayer to repeat. You believe that? The prayers that are repeated, what do they become? Monotonous, monotone. Most of the time it's hard to say prayers together, isn't it? When they lifted up their voice in one accord, I don't believe they said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do you believe that? When they lifted up their voice in one accord, maybe different people were saying different things, undoubtedly were. Some were speaking in Hebrew, some were speaking in Greek, some were speaking in tongues. But in one accord, they lifted their voices. There was life, excitement. What kind of words should we speak in prayer? 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So somebody tell me then, with that in mind, what words should you speak in prayer? His what? His will. Say, "I need to speak His will." His will. How can I know His will? His word. So what am I going to speak in prayer? You say, "Well, that seems strange that I'm going to be speaking His word to Him. Doesn't He know His word?" Yeah, but you don't know it right yet. You only know it a little bit. And how many know the best way to learn is to say something? Really? Start saying it. Start rehearsing it. Start practicing it. Amen? Start saying His word. He says in the 15th verse, He says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him." So the key is we ask according to His will. So what do I do if I'm sick? Well, here's been the pattern for years. People go to the Lord and they say, "Oh Lord, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows how bad I feel." Is that praying according to His will? What's according to His will? What is His will? His word, right? His will. So what do we pray when we're sick? I'll tell you what I pray when I'm sick. I say, "Father, Your word says that Yeshua took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses." Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but if He took them, listen to me now, if He took them, do I have to have them? No. So what am I doing? I'm putting His will in place of how I feel. Bible says, "He took my sins in His own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness." Does anybody have any trouble with that? That's a fact, isn't it? That's the way it happened. But it says, "By His stripes you were healed." You were what? You were trying to get well? No, not trying to get well. We're not the sick trying to get well. When we have sickness in our body, it's an attack upon our body against the will of God, and we need to begin to condition this, the mind, where it begins to believe what He says. Believe what He says. You say, "That sounds like mind over matter." Certainly isn't. It certainly isn't. It's getting the carnal mind out of the way so the spiritual mind can receive what's already been given. You say, healing's already been given? I'm going to show you that it has. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How many of you believe healings pertains unto life and godliness? How many believe that prosperity pertains unto life and godliness? Well, it's according to the Word, see? And so here's the way we begin to pray. We realize that our words reveal our intentions. They also reveal God's intentions. Right? So when I speak His Word, I'm speaking what He intends. When I speak His Word, I'm finding out His purposes. Right? And I find them through His promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we just quoted verse 4 says, let's see if I can get it. Somebody read it for me. They got it open. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How did He give them to us? He gave them to them by the word promise. He promised them to us. So what do I need to do? If there's a promise being left me of entering into His rest, what do I need to do with it? What?
Claim it.
Or enter in, right? Enter into the promise of God. Now I'm saying all of this so that you'll get into the right attitudes about prayer. Words are containers. Did you know that? What do words contain? Well, depends. What?
Power.
They can contain a lot of power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words contain power, so they can be containers for faith, right? Trust can be shown with our words. Or, what else can be shown?
Doubt.
What? Doubt? Fear? Unbelief? People in foolish talk reveal things about themselves. Just foolishness. They talk themselves into early graves, I believe, by what they say. I'm so sick, I think I'm going to die. I'm not going to talk that way. I don't care if the doctor says I'm terminal, I'm not going to talk that way. Bob Alexander didn't talk that way when the doctors told him, you have stage 4 cancer back behind your tongue, can't be operated on, can't be healed. Bob said, well, what's the treatment? There is no treatment. There's nothing we can do, Bob. Go home and get your house in order. They actually said that. I don't think I've ever had any doctor tell me to get my house in order. But the doctor told him, get your house in order because you only have a few months. Bob came to me and told me what the doctor said, and he said, but I want to tell you, I'm healed. And he never, ever went back on his confession. He always held fast. I am healed. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what it feels like. I am the healed of God. Bob's in California right now building a house. He's 65 years old now. And Bob told me that after he reached the end of this cancer treatment, they did do some treatment, but he said, I have worked harder than I have all of my life. He said, the Lord has so restored my vitality. Complete, whole, healed. Why? He just wasn't going to have it. Because he knew the promises of God. See, that's the key. You need to get feisty about things. You've heard from God. That's what His Word says. Words are containers. So, if words are containers, how do they come out of us? Our words. They contain our faith. When I say, I know your grace, O Lord, that though you were yet rich, yet for myself you became poor, that I through your poverty might be rich. What does that contain?
Faith.
And confidence that my needs are going to be supplied, right? Not only supplied, but that I'm going to walk rich. Say, do you like to say rich? Did you know the religious world generally hates people talking about rich? But I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. The Bible says that. We through His poverty might be rich. The riches of God are released toward. I believe the believer is supposed to be rich. Why? Just like Joseph was rich. What was he doing? He was helping people. He was helping people. Somebody said, what do you need money for, Pastor? It takes a lot of money to spread the gospel. Do you believe that? It does. It takes a lot of money. See, here's the key. Water's free. Everybody know that? Water's free, isn't it? Well, actually, the water itself is free. You can go to any stream and pick up some water. You know, it's free. But to get that water from the place where it is to the place where you need it, all that pipe costs a lot of money, doesn't it? And when a minister, by the way, I don't have any problem at all with ministers flying jet airplanes. I think they all ought to fly a jet. I think every minister ought to have a jet airplane that would use it. Well, wouldn't that be something? To have the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go to Shanghai, and you could go, and you wouldn't have to wait around. I think that's all right. I know that rubs people the wrong way, but I believe it. You see, what we don't like is this idea of lavishness. People begin to be opulent, and they begin to be showy, and they begin to show off. I don't like that either. That's not prosperity. That's idolatry. We don't like that. But as, you know, as far as using the things of this world and the riches of this world to do ministry, I think we should be doing it. I think we should be doing it. You have any idea how much wealth there is in all of the Christian believers in the world? What would happen if all of the Christian believers began to tithe? Have you ever thought about that? How many of you believe tithing is for today? Can I see the hand? You believe tithing? Okay, so you see, there's some people that think that was law, not knowing it was before law. Tithe's always been. Always been. But you know, I think the tithe of all of the Catholic and evangelical Christians in the world, if somebody calculated this, would be something like $200 billion a year. How many of you think that much is coming in? Probably not, huh? Imagine what would happen if all Christians just began to do what the Word of God says. That's hearing from God and doing what He said. So we've got these great promises given unto us, and the Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, and I'm going to read from the New American Standard, you'll see the King James, which is almost the same except for the word confession. They use the word profession there. But it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. How many of you know Yeshua is faithful? How many of you know God is faithful? God cannot lie. God changes not. And so every word that He spoke to Abraham is still true today. You believe that? Every word that He spoke to Moses, still true today. Anything He said to Adam, still true today. Every word that's written in the Tanakh, what you have been led to believe is supposed to be called Old Testament, and we don't know how to talk about it, so we go along with it, but really, it's not an Old Testament, it's just the Word of God. And your Bible ought to be like this Bible, that when it gets to Malachi, it ought to just jump right on over into Matthew. Although this Bible goes from 2 Chronicles to Matthew, because the Hebrew grouping of books is a little different than our grouping. Just briefly, so you'll understand it, the Hebrews group their scriptures as the Torah, which is five books. They then have the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and then they have a group called Ketuvim, which is the writings. And that word is really, Tanakh is an anagram. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. Tanakh. It really doesn't mean anything other than that. Just what they named it. It's the scriptures that were given before the Gospels. So there's scriptures before the Gospels and there's scriptures after the Gospels, but they're all from the same God and He changes not. Do you believe that? So Torah, Which, what does that mean, Torah? What's it mean? Teaching and instruction. How many of you thought it meant law? Well, it doesn't mean law. It means instruction. It's the teaching and instruction of God. And it goes from Genesis to Revelation. It's all the Word. God changes not, because He's faithful that promised. So holding fast. How do you hold fast to your confession? I know how to hold fast to some physical thing. You just grab it and hold on, right? A rope. I can hold on to the rope. How do you hold fast to a confession? You keep believing. Confession literally means saying the same thing. That's what the words in the Greek mean, homologia. To say, homo means same. Logia means to speak. To say the same. Say the same. So if I'm going to hold fast, I'm going to keep believing, but I'm going to do that by continuing to say. How many of you have a hard time in being vocal? Get over it. We need to be vocal. That's one thing the Jews understand a lot better than we do about faith. They just talk it out all the time. They go to the Shacharit, which is the morning standing prayer, and they stand. Now, I have to tell you, it's a lot of vain stuff, although many times they're just reading Scripture, but they just, no. They're reading, but it's out loud. Do you know you understand better when you hear? When things are out loud? How many of you were taught, never read out loud, just read to yourself? You'll disturb the person next to you. The people in China weren't taught that way. People in the Middle East aren't taught that way. In their classrooms, they all read out loud. But there's a reason for it. You receive better when you read out loud. I want to challenge some of you that have a hard time understanding the Word of God to start reading it out loud. Read it to yourself out loud. If some of you have some of these methods of having scripture on tape or scriptures on MP3 or whatever you have, read along with them. If you got the same translation, just read it out loud right along with them. That way you're hearing it with your ears twice. Hearing it on the outside and you're hearing your voice on the inside. Things really set and gel when you do that. You need to do that. Hold fast your confession. Hold fast. So holding fast means to keep it up. Continue. Continue to say. Now, does that fit in with other portions of Scripture? See, I don't think most people know it does, even though they probably know the psalm I'm about to quote. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, say delight, his delight is in the law, the Torah, the instructions of God. And in his instruction doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. How do you meditate? Everybody show me meditation. Get right into deep meditation right quick here. There we go. Meditation. There we get. Like the thinker, right? No, you don't meditate that way. You know, if you're really meditating something, and you know, whether you know this or not, you do it a lot. There's very few people that don't meditate somewhat by talking to themselves. Any of you talk to yourself? Could I see the hands of those that never talk to yourself? Could I see the hands of those that talk to themselves a lot? Out loud, right? Yeah, we talk to ourselves. And you know, why do we do it? It sets. It sets. I sometimes have to just do it to get mundane tasks done. Now I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to do this way, and I'm going to take that apart, and then I'm going to do this. Do you do that? Well, see, the Word of God is so powerful that it's spirit and life. And when you speak that word and meditate, literally the word means to mutter to oneself. Meditate. Haga in the Hebrew. Haga, meditate. You begin to set it inside of you. It's set. It's set. We're saying the same thing. So when Yeshua said to us, pray after this manner, or use this as a kind of a model for your prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What was he telling us? Matthew 6, 9. Now we're going to practice a little bit here. How are we going to practice this? We're saying what he said. He said, this is the pattern. This is the manner you're going to pray. What does that first part make you think of? Our Father which art in heaven. Okay, when you think of God, who is in heaven, what does that do to your access to Him? Huh? That's right, we have access to Him, don't we? Through the prayers that we pray, and Jesus said that we, or the Scripture says about what Jesus said, that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. Are you? Your authority is there. So our Father which art in heaven, where are you? And so I begin to think, and this is the step, or some people call them demarcations about this, our Father which art in heaven. This is the promise of God's presence in our lives. His presence in our life. Father. Our Father. Abba. Avinu Shabashamayim. That's the way Hebrew would say that. Avinu. Our Father. Which art in heaven, in the Shemayim. Now, as I meditate that, what am I also thinking? I'm meditating. My Father's in heaven, but I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. And what do I know about His location in relationship to me? Where?
He's right next to
me. Right there. He's in me. The Scripture says I can come boldly. Say boldly. What does that look like? Boldly.
No fear.
No fear. When you come boldly, do you come like this? Huh? No. That's, what's that? That's cowering, isn't it? I'm coming boldly. I get to walk right in. I get to, why? Not because I'm being brash, but because I belong. I belong in His presence. So when I think of that part of that prayer, I begin to think of His presence. And then He said, holy is your name. Then I begin to think of all of His name. His name is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the covenant-keeping, grace-giving, merciful God. The God of love. That's all spelled out in that name, Yahweh. But then He gave us names throughout Scripture that show His covenant relationship with us. And they all begin with, not all of them, but many of them begin, the covenant names begin with Yahweh. Yahweh Tzidkenu. We've got them all written out here. We wrote them out in Hebrew and said what they are. Tzidkenu means our righteousness. Yahweh Mekadesh, that means our sanctifier. Yahweh Shema, that means He is present or He is there. Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Rafcha, Yahweh Yira. How many of you ever sang that old song Jehovah Jireh? That's it. Jehovah, Yahweh Yira. Yahweh Nisi is our banner. And Yahweh Rohi is our shepherd. Our shepherd. Now that's all covenant relationship. And if you begin to meditate the word that goes along with righteousness, what's the first thing you find out? How did you become righteous? By the blood. Say blood. That's why it's covenant. It's about blood covenant. We were righteous because He became sin, though He knew no sin, that we might be made righteous in His blood, right? It's by the blood of the Lamb. How did you get sanctified? The Lord said, be holy because I am holy. Well, the Bible says that He sanctified us in His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Sanctification comes right alongside of being forgiven, but sanctification is different than righteousness because righteousness is imputed And sanctification is a choice, isn't it? I have to choose to walk in the paths of righteousness even though I am righteous. You don't believe that when you're driving down the road and you're praising God and loving Him and somebody walks out in front of you, turns out in front of me. You tell me there isn't a choice right there. Is that right? I have to choose to walk in the paths of righteousness then, don't I? Because that's not my natural bent. Yours either. We choose that. God's presence in our lives. He wants us to know that He's there. What I said earlier, He never wants you to be lonely. He wants you to know He's there. All of those names are shalom. He made shalom through the blood of His cross. We're made nigh through the blood of Christ. How did we get healed? Somebody tell me where healing comes from. Give me scripture. By His what? By His stripes. Was there blood involved with stripes? Bloody wounds are what some translations put. By His wounds. Yeah. Well, what about provider? Is there any blood involved in the provision from God? How was the curse removed? The curse of poverty? Anybody remember when the curse from poverty was removed from us? What was it? It was at the cross, but it was actually began before. He became poor. When did that happen? Somebody said, all through His walk, Jesus just didn't have anything. Well, the Bible says they carried a bag that had enough in it. Judas used to steal from it. So it wasn't poor in that way. He became poor at the very end when He took poverty, the curse of poverty upon Himself, and the redemption from that was a crown of thorns. You ever think what the Bible says that poverty would come in Eden when God told them that poverty would be a part of the curse? What was it? He said, and thorns will come up. Thorns will come up. So the crown of thorns, what did they do to Jesus? I'll tell you what, they didn't just stick, they pierced. And blood flowed. So there was redemption, even from poverty, through the blood of Yeshua. Our banner, Yahweh Nisi. What is a banner, by the way? Anybody know about banners? The action team used banners, used flags. What is it?
Well, it's attention, but it's also protection.
It's protection. Literally. Didn't have to even have a cloth thing on it like that. The banner was the ensign. In fact, it's spoken of in Scripture when Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they first met Amalek. And Amalek came to what? Defeat them. And as long as Moses held his hands up, Israel prevailed. But when he dropped the ensign, what happened? Amalek began to prevail. And we know the story that Aaron and Hur stood beside Moses and propped his arms up in the air. It's a picture of all of us needing help sometimes, right? And what happened? They defeated them. And the Bible said that place was called Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is our banner. He's our banner. Well, now wait a second. Banner. What does that thing guard us from? Or what does it give us? Victory. The Bible says He always causes us to triumph in Him. He always gives us the victory. Through Him who loved us, His banner over us is love. Love isn't just mushy. Love's strong. Think about it. When the love of God's on the scene, Romans 8 says, neither tribulation, nor distress, nor famine, nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword, nor any such thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror, the Bible says, through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. And how do I overcome the enemy?
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
And we love not our lives unto death. Do you see how the Word just begins to open up? And it'll do it to you. As you start getting close to these, pretty soon you'll find yourself meditating these names, but you won't just be meditating the names, you'll be meditating the Word of God that establishes those names. Now what are we doing? We're doing what Jesus said. We're praying after that manner, but we're praying it topically. We're speaking to God and we're talking. So as I go through, say, one of these names, I stop for a second and listen for God. I want to see what He has to say, because He'll bring other scriptures that I've never thought of before. And I told you this week, as I've been thinking about Yahweh Shalom, He began to speak to me about the kingdom of God that's within us. The kingdom of God is in us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is what we're all waiting for, right? We're waiting for the kingdom. But how does it come? It comes not with observation, the Bible says. It's not meat and drink. It's not just in word, but it's in power. And so here I am thinking about His shalom. And that's where it all comes from. The kingdom of God is in peace, shalom, righteousness, shalom, and then joy. Amen. And so He begins to open up revelation to us about different parts of it. So as we pray these prayers like this, and we're talking to God, we're not going off on our own little... See, some people think they got to be original with God. Did you ever hear anybody that just always wants to have an original prayer? You may know this about me. I don't even have to have original sermons. Because I don't prepare sermons, I prepare my heart, and then whatever comes out, comes out. Amen? I've got some scripture up here, is what I've got. I've got a bare bones outline, is what I've got. But whatever comes out, is what we need to hear for today. And if you're sitting out in the congregation and you're drawing, you're going to get what you need for today. Did you know that? It's amazing how you can draw different things. So as you pray then, as you pray through this, these demarcations, these different topics, as you pray them, don't rush, but also don't get bogged down. You don't have to say every scripture you ever heard about something. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. And I find that some days He'll just really stress something like Yahweh Shalom. Because He told me that He would keep me in perfect shalom as my mind is stayed on Him. And oh, I've been working on that. Have you been working on that too? Keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. Because sometimes when you're doing something, it doesn't lend itself to thinking about Jesus. So what do you have to do? You have to draw that mind back into that vein, don't you? You have to pull it back. Many times I stop and start praying in tongues. And as I pray in other tongues, that kind of sets the station again on my spiritual radio. You know what I'm talking about. And I begin to hear again what God's saying. So I pray through a topic until I feel done with that topic. And then I listen. Each area opens entrance into a specific area of relationship. See, that's what all of these are. The first part of that prayer shows His presence. The second part, Thy kingdom come, verse 10. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's speaking of His priorities. God's priorities. That's the first thing He wants. His will done in earth as it is in heaven. What are things going to look like when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven? I want to tell you, this just came to me. We're going to have a universal health care plan. And it's not going to look anything like Washington would come up with. And guess what? It's all been paid for. That's when His priority is done. God's priority. Thy kingdom come. Come, kingdom of God. I don't pray it, oh Lord, please let Your kingdom come. I call that kingdom. Kingdom of God within me, come forth. Is a kingdom in you? Call it out. Let it get manifest. What's it going to look like when the kingdom of God's manifest in you? Same way it looked with Peter and John when they went up to the temple to pray. Same way it looked in Paul when he called the lame man and saw that he had faith to be healed. How did he see that? He saw it in his spirit. God talked to him. He called him and he stood up. Same things are going to happen. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. The works that I do, Jesus said, will you do also. These works and greater works. The will of God being done through me, in me. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't believe that again is a request, because he already said he gave us all things. I believe that's saying, you do give us this day our daily bread. You have supplied all of our needs. Thank you, Father. Oh, I'm just going out to pick up my manna. I'm just going out to pick up those things you supplied. That's all the children of Israel had to do, wasn't it? They just went out and got a basket and filled it up and brought it in. 6 days they did. 5 days they did that. And on the sixth day, they got to get twice as much. Amen? So how about doing that? You give us this day our daily bread. That's God's provision. I'm going to go out and pick it up. I'm going to believe for it. Who am I believing for? What did you pick up for? I picked up for my house. What is my house? What's your house? Is it just the place where you two live? No. It has to do with people that belong to you, people that you've begotten, whether physically or spiritually. In a church situation, I consider this to be bait, living word, the house of the living word. And so when I'm praying about this day, my daily bread, I'm thinking about you too. Do you know that? I think about you. I meditate. I talk to God about thank you, Lord, you're just blessing my brothers and sisters with abundance. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, verse 12. What's that talk about? It's talking about all of our relationship, isn't it? First with God, He forgives our sins, but then our relationship with others. We forgive as we have been forgiven. But you'd be amazed as you begin to bring these things to mind how Scripture will begin to come to you. And as you study the Word of God, think about the Word of God, it'll become clearer and clearer and clearer. He leads us not into temptation. Oh, that's a fact, isn't it? How many of you know that the Bible says God doesn't tempt in the book of James? He can't be tempted and He doesn't tempt. So He couldn't lead us into temptation. We're saying you don't lead us into temptation. You lead us how? By your Spirit. We know that. By the Word. You lead us by those things, don't you? You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You lead us the right way. So we're remembering those things, and then we say, and you deliver us from evil. Does He? That's what the Word says. He's delivered us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He's covered us with His feathers, and under His wings we trust. He delivers us from evil. What is that talking about? That's that victory again, isn't it? Victory, not just victory in the world, but victory over spiritual wickedness, over Hasatan, the Satan. We have victory over him. Did you know that? The Bible says we tread upon him. We tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Amen. And finally, he ended up that prayer. And by the way, he said this prayer both in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11, virtually the same way. He repeated it at different times in his ministry. That's the thing that's important. Sometimes things that are in Luke and Matthew are talking about the same time. But he actually, when they asked him again about it, at a different time in his ministry, he came up with almost exactly the same prayer. Why? Because these words are important. Words are important. What we say, saying His Word. But finally, Jesus ended that prayer with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And oh, I'm so thankful the Lord's given me revelation into that. And I want you to receive of this revelation and begin to see that what this is talking about is His divine partnership with us. Because what do we know about the kingdom of God? We talked about it. What? It's within us. It's His kingdom forever, but His kingdom, He said, is within you. What do we know about His power? His mighty power. It's exceeding and great, but the Bible says He's endued us with power from on high. Right? So there's partnership shown. Somebody said, well, what about glory, Pastor? Glory, do we get glory? We're glorified in Him, aren't we? We receive our glory in Him, because as He's glorified, so is His body glorified. So there's a divine partnership. And each area of confession, as we've said, opens up these specific areas. You need to meditate on each area until your spirit releases you to go someplace else. But you know what? You'll get excited about this as you do it. This won't be the old dead drudgery type prayers. Some people haven't prayed this way, but I've had a lot of prayer meetings in my life that bored me. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. So I was excited when I found out there's a prayer that's delightful. I was excited about that. The other thing is, as you pray through each part, expect a response. Expect God to respond to you and talk with you and help you to see it. How He does that most often is to expand what you've been thinking way out beyond what you've been thinking. You'll find that'll happen from time to time in dynamic ways. And you'll be wanting to share it with other people, what He's showing you about the Word of God. Repeat what He says to you. If He says something to you, tells you to do something, write it down. Why do you write things down? How many of you have ever had Him tell you something really profound in the middle of the night and you didn't write it down, and by next morning you could not remember it? I don't know why it is, but I've had it happen to me over and over again. So write it down. Make a note of it. Act upon it. And then finally, as God speaks to us, and this is still talking about hearing God, always express your thanks for having heard. You know, we don't ever want to get to the place where we say, oh yeah, that's old hat, I hear from God all the time. Always excites me, brothers. Always excites me, sisters. When I hear God say something, I get excited. And I want it to be that way until I see Him face to face, don't you? Let's stand together. Father, how we love You today. How blessed we are to know You and to know that we don't have to be people that make up anything. We don't have to organize into a way that we begin to try to think that we have to impress You. All we have to do is come to You. And we come with Your Word. We come with knowing Your will. And the Word promises, just because we know Your will and lay hold on it and claim it and say, then we have those things that we've said. And so when we pray for the lost today, we're praying for the lost. We're praying for those that are dying in their sins right now. Without You, they'll end up in eternal perdition. Father, we pray for them. We know that we have confidence in You, because Your will, expressed by the Word of God, says You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And we know today, Father, that You said that You're willing that all men should come unto salvation. So we thank You for that. And we praise You for it. And Father, we know that it's not by just prayer, but it's by sending the Word to these people that they will hear the truth. And so our prayer today, Father, is that to the lost, Lord, the lost everywhere, You said pray for all men. And we pray today that all men will have opportunity to hear the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. That the Word of God will be preached freely unto them, Father. Father, that You will send messengers, that You will send the Word of God through these proclaimers that we've been sending through. Faith cometh by hearing, the Word of God is going forth. Through missionaries that we're sending out, Lord, the Word of God is going forth. Through the individual members of this body, Lord, as we go away from this place where the service truly begins, outside of the walls of this church, Father, You're sending Your Word to them. And we pray, Father, that each one of us will be faithful to share Your Word. And Lord, You who touch hearts and said, faith comes by hearing. Lord, as they hear, we believe that they will hear and hear and hear and have understanding and come to the knowledge of the truth and be born again. We thank You for that, Father. We praise You for that. And for each and every one of the members of this congregation today, Father, I pray a special blessing over them. I speak shalom over them right now. I thank You, Father, that according to Your Word, when I speak this blessing, You said that the people in this house would have the name of Yahweh put upon them. And so I say this, and now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.